Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So yesterday morning, as Mayor de Blasio gathered union leaders to talk about his plan for universal pre-K, Governor Cuomo was speaking in Albany, and they seem to have common ground, First Mayor de Blasio.
We have a goal. We believe in this goal. We believe it's the right thing to do.
And Governor Cuomo.
There's no doubt that pre-K is the way to go and that it should be accelerated. And I think we're going to have unanimity on that.
But hold on a minute. Mayor de Blasio is also sticking to his goal to fund pre-K by taxing wealthy New York City residents. And Governor Cuomo in Albany was introducing his plan to cut state taxes. So maybe the two Democrats aren't quite all that much in sync. Joining me to discuss this tale of two cities are Liz Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight on the upstate cable channel YNN, and also now a Capital New York columnist, and Grace Rao, New York One political reporter. Hi, Grace. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Brian.
So to focus on the pre-K funding first, as Governor Cuomo said, he supports it. True, Liz?
Yes, he does support it. That's true. He's actually, he has a commission. He's a big fan of commissions and task forces, and he's got one that is looking at how to reform the state's education system, which is pretty Byzantine, particularly when it comes to its funding formulas. And one of its initial recommendations was to increase pre-K across the state. It's really, many studies have shown and many experts agree, the single most important thing that you can do for young people to get them ready for school to improve their performance over the long term. Almost everyone agrees with that. I've never heard a single person say that that's not the case. But it's expensive, and that's where people start to differ in terms of how much it costs and how much should be put into it and where the money should come from. The governor has competitive grants that he has offered to various districts. Not a lot of districts are going for that. They have to apply, and that takes time, of course, and they have other things to do, although more are applying now than when they first started the program. So he is definitely a fan of pre-K. He is not somebody who's, you know, he's not lying when he says that that's the case. It's just a question of where the money should come from.
And does he indicate that he would find enough money for New York? You said competitive grants. That indicates that some localities in New York State could get it, others could not, depending on whatever's in their application. At the same time that he wants to cut taxes, not institute another one, he's running for reelection and who knows what after that. So is he clear about how he would help Mayor de Blasio fully fund pre-K in New York City?
No. Is the short answer. I mean, he did say yesterday during a press conference at which he unveiled the tax-cutting portion of his State of the State address, which is essentially what was recommended to him by the Pataki-McCall Tax Commission, which was the second tax commission that he had set up over the course of the past year. He said that he's expecting there will be a roughly $2 billion or $1.7 and change billion surplus at the end of 2014, the fiscal year, if we toe the line on spending. And he insists there will be enough to increase funding for education, increase funding for health care, and also provide $2.2 billion worth of tax cuts over a series of years, not in the first year. Exactly how much in the first year is unclear. When asked about a report in Capitol that he plans to provide funding, which is something that we've been hearing for weeks now, but not a consistent recurring revenue stream funded necessarily by taxes on the rich, which is what de Blasio is seeking, when asked about that report yesterday, he was pretty reticent, and he also said he would not be addressing the pre-K issue in his State of the State, which is a little bit of a surprise since it is the signature issue of the man who is now the liberal poster child for the nation.
So Grace Rao from New York One covering Mayor de Blasio here in New York. What's the mayor's goal here? Is it just to have universal pre-K fully funded for the city, and however Governor Cuomo finds a way to do that would be great with him? Or is it also to tax the wealthy?
Mayor de Blasio has made it clear that it is also to tax the wealthy. It's pre-K, but paying for pre-kindergarten, universal pre-kindergarten in New York City with that tax on New Yorkers who make more than $500,000 a year. And he's been asked about this repeatedly because it's somewhat confusing, I think, not only to New Yorkers who may be in favor of de Blasio's pre-K plan, but also to reporters who cover him. We've heard over and over again the focus on pre-kindergarten, as well as this tax increase would also be used to fund after-school programs for middle school students. We've heard de Blasio tout the benefits of both of those proposals throughout this campaign for mayor. But when he's pressed on whether he would be fine with accepting funding for that plan if it came from the state budget or some other funding source, he says, hold on a minute, that's not what we're talking about here. And he is fixated on getting a tax hike for wealthy New Yorkers to pay for this.
And they're each claiming that their plan to fund pre-K is less likely to be undone by future legislatures, that it's less vulnerable to the political winds of one year versus another year. And yet I think, Grace, it would almost have to be a state constitutional amendment to really be protected, because, you know, legislatures and governors and mayors can always decide in a particular budget year to spend less on something, more on something else.
Right. And the irony here is that de Blasio's tax hike proposal would only last for 5 years. He's saying we want to tax the rich for 5 years to pay for this plan, and then we'll find money for it in the city budget of New York. So if the argument is that money from the state budget would be vulnerable to tax cuts, to budget cuts in, you know, a difficult fiscal year, the same might be true in the city if that's the way it gets funded down the road.
Liz in Albany, why does Cuomo feel so invested in stopping a city income tax hike? It's not the state. It's not him raising taxes. It would just be allowing the city to do what it wants in the city.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the city is, of course, the most high-profile entity in the state. It's the economic engine that makes the state run. And, yes, of course, there are other cities and municipalities across the state that ask for home rule messages, which is, I think, something that IDC leader in the Senate, Jeff Klein, is saying. Well, you know, if there's a request from New York City, we let other cities do whatever they want. Why don't we, you know, why don't we do the same for New York? It is, you know, a little bit more high profile than the rest of the state. And I think that Governor Cuomo has really hung his hat on being a fiscal conservative and getting the ship of state sailing in the right direction, which is really a paraphrase of exactly what he had to say himself yesterday, while also being a social policy liberal. He's sort of towing this pragmatic middle way, if you will, and being fiscally conservative and socially liberal with things like gay marriage and medical marijuana, which is a whole different discussion. So I don't think he feels like he could, you know, say yes to a tax increase, particularly when we just had a tax overhaul just a number of 2 years ago, I think it was at this point, where he was being pressed by the left to extend the so-called millionaire's tax, which is sort of a version of what we're talking about here, a PIT increase on high tax earners that was temporary and then sunsetted. Instead of doing that, because he had pledged not to raise taxes during the campaign in 2010, he did a whole tax overhaul in which middle income earners got a break, and then subsequently that was set to expire in this election year, and they extended it so they didn't have to deal with it in an election year. So I really don't think it's something that he wants to touch. Plus, I don't think that the Senate Republicans are really interested in doing that when they have such a tenuous relationship at this point with their conservative base.
Grace, how did they end up with these dueling news conferences at about the same time yesterday? You know, we could have been talking this morning about how Cuomo and de Blasio both want to fund universal pre-K, and they're negotiating on how to do it. Instead, there are newspaper columns out this morning asking things like, which one is the real alpha male?
Mm. Right. Well, you know, the timing of those news conferences certainly got a lot of attention. De Blasio was scheduled to begin his at 10 a.m., but he has a habit of running late to these things. And he actually only started speaking around 11 at that news conference, which was when Governor Cuomo's was scheduled to begin. So you really had this setup of these two dueling news conferences, one down in New York City talking about raising taxes, Governor Cuomo sitting in front of a banner touting his tax-cutting agenda. The contrast couldn't have been more stark there, although de Blasio said that anyone who was reading into the timing of this press conference yesterday, shouldn't read too much into it. And he said it was initially scheduled to take place during the first week of his administration, but it got pushed back because of that snowstorm.
Is there an Albany version of this, Liz?
Nope. I mean, I will say that the governor, you know, this year in particular has been leaking a lot regarding his State of the State address. It's no secret that he has been interested in tax cuts. He's made that quite clear for months now. So this isn't a surprise. In terms of the timing of his press conference, the advisory from the press office didn't come out until the morning of the event, but that's not so unusual either for the Cuomo administration. I mean, they are sort of notorious among members of the press corps for not giving people a terrible lot of notice to get, you know, to a place where the governor's going to make an announcement or have an event. I can't say, you know, for certain one way or another if they all, you know, planned it and wanted to step on each other's toes or wanted to see who could shout the loudest. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, but I don't have any firm evidence that that is indeed the case. But it is true, the alpha male political stuff, certainly, which is going around, this isn't the first time that people have asked that question. They've essentially been asking that question since Bill de Blasio was elected because, you know, there was an alpha male in City Hall, but he wasn't a Democrat. He used to be a Democrat. He was a very rich independent, Mayor Bloomberg. This is a different situation entirely.
Right. But I think yesterday changed the script a little bit because until yesterday, you know, you had things like Governor Cuomo calling the show a few weeks ago and saying, we're going to have a relationship between the governor and the mayor that's closer than any relationship
right.
a governor and a mayor have ever had before. Remember, we worked together at HUD under President Clinton, all of that stuff. But now yesterday, I don't know, it seems to me like it's a different conversation after yesterday.
Well, we're seeing a lot more. I think there's some more public posturing at this point as they stake out these opposing positions. On pre-K. And, you know, and this sort of alpha male fight is only going to get bigger on Wednesday. Tomorrow is the governor's State of the State address, and Mayor de Blasio is going up to Albany to attend the speech. He may do a Q&A afterwards with reporters responding to it. So, you know, this is only the beginning of what is certainly going to be quite a high-profile battle as de Blasio really goes to bat for his first major policy initiative. This was the centerpiece of his campaign for mayor. As he says, he won an electoral mandate, won by a landslide, and this is his first big item on his agenda, and he wants to check it off and say, look at what we accomplished during the first few months of my administration.
By the way, go ahead, Liz.
Well, Brian and Grace, I guess it's a question more than anything else, but it seems to me that it's bigger than pre-K. I mean, even if he gets pre-K, which would enable him to check off the box, as Grace said, right? I got the signature policy issue that I said I would get, and I got the funding from the governor, and I went up to Albany, and I came back with something that's an achievement. But isn't it bigger than that? He promised to address the income inequality gap that grew under Mayor Bloomberg. And if he doesn't get a tax on high earners, then isn't it a failure? In other words, I mean, it's bigger than pre-K. It's something entirely more than that.
I think that that's a very good point to raise. And I think that he's put himself, his commitment to paying for this with a tax hike on wealthy New Yorkers, he's putting himself a little bit into a box. I think many New Yorkers would be satisfied and would view it as a win if he got universal pre-K for New York. I think most people might argue, I don't care how you pay for it, just pay for it. I want to be able to send my kids to preschool. But his focus on the way he wants it paid for with that tax hike on wealthy New Yorkers, he's setting himself up for, you know, a bigger challenge. It's going to be a lot tougher to get those two things, the pre-K and the tax increase.
And I think it's also worth noting, Liz, that de Blasio always pairs universal pre-K and universal after school for middle school students. The governor hasn't said anything about that second piece. He says he's for universal pre-K. He wants to find a way to do it. But I don't think he's ever said anything about making a commitment to finding money for after school for middle school students. Have you heard anything like that?
No, I haven't. You know, it was interesting yesterday at this press conference that the governor, where he didn't say anything about pre-K, he was asked, first, right? So he talked about tax cuts, as you noted, and that was the focus. Subsequently, he was asked about it, and he gave a shout-out to the Assembly Democrats, which I found fascinating given what's going on in their chamber these days. And they've had a lot of upheaval thanks to sort of a string of sexual harassment scandals. But they have been carrying the torch, if you will, for universal pre-K for years. And his recognition of them and that effort I found interesting because, you know, certainly the Assembly Democrats have allied themselves with, well, at least the Speaker has allied himself with the mayor. I mean, there's a lot of different sort of moving parts to this, and it's a little bit difficult to see where it will end. I would expect, though, that it is an election year. It's the first year for Bill de Blasio. He's got a lot of other things on his plate, including those union contracts he's got to deal with that he has to negotiate. He's got a budget hole he's got to deal with. You would think that these two guys would be able to come to terms in a way that enables them both to win. But I don't see the way that Governor Cuomo at this point agrees to a tax hike. When you talk about putting yourself into a box, he's also boxed himself in on that topic.
By the way, before you go, Liz, Cuomo's got a good Republican estate tax proposal there, doesn't he? Increases the exempt estates from $1 million to $5 million. I mean, that could have been George W. Bush. Why is it Andrew Cuomo?
He wants to cut the corporate franchise tax for upstate entities to zero, which is going further than what the Pataki-McCall Commission recommended. The business community is like jumping for joy, which is interesting because after the first 2 years, they were very pleased with him. Last year, they felt chagrined, I think, because he took a turn to the left in preparation maybe for his reelection bid. They were very not thrilled with the minimum wage increase, which, by the way, now the Assembly Speaker is pushing to accelerate. So it's fascinating the way he's trying to toe this middle line.
Does that ever work, by the way? Isn't there a sorry history of tax exemptions to create jobs, not really creating jobs, just letting corporations off the hook from, you know, what people might think is their normal social responsibility of paying some income tax?
Yeah, there certainly is, although in the governor's eyes, you know, it would be, you know, he wants to bring the level of taxes for businesses to 1968 levels in order to make New York more competitive. The upstate economy is something governors have been struggling with for years, and trying to jumpstart that, I think, is something that he sees as a personal mission. He would be able to point to it as a major accomplishment that eluded many governors, including his own father. So it's a very big deal for him to try and get things going. You can see the way that the tax cut package is structured, that there is a horse trade ability in there for the Senate Republicans to hold their collective noses and for the Assembly Democrats to do the same and vote yes. But the city of New York is not getting a heck of a lot. The renter's tax break was added only after the fact, and I don't think that businesses in the city are thrilled, although there are some things for the financial sector.
And we will, by the way, after the governor's State of the State address tomorrow afternoon, have the Republican leader, Dean Skelos, senator from Long Island, as our first guest on Thursday morning on this show. Grace Rao, last word in 30 seconds. Mayor de Blasio is going to announce some more appointments this afternoon. What are the big ones we're still waiting for? You know, we just had Thomas Farley, Bloomberg's health commissioner, held over for the moment on the show earlier to talk about the cold. We don't know the health commissioner. That's a big one. We don't know parks commissioner yet, right?
Right. There are still, you know, several positions. We don't know fire commissioner. We don't know Office of Emergency Management. You know, the sanitation commissioner, John Doherty, has been asked to stay on through the winter at least or until a replacement has been named. So there are still a number of high-profile positions within the administration, positions that really have an impact on how the city runs on a day-to-day basis that Mayor de Blasio has yet to name.
Grace Rao, political reporter from New York One, Liz Benjamin, columnist for Capital New York and host of Capital Tonight on the Upstate Cable Channel, YNN. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for having us.